So we've entered into the yearly Thanksgiving season, for the holiday is upon us in a couple weeks. However, as I say every year, Thanksgiving is not a season for the believer. A season has a beginning and an end. Huh? Thanksgiving for the Christian does not have a beginning and it does not have an end. Well, it may have a beginning, but it has no end. Amen. Look here, right? Our Thanksgiving is constant recognition of the fact that God is good at all times. Amen. At all times. And therefore, he is worthy of Thanksgiving at all times. But the doctor just told me I got arthritis in my knee. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Hey, you who took care of me before I had arthritis in the knee, you're going to take care of me with arthritis in the knee. If they tell me I got this, if they tell me I got that, well, that may not be true. But whatever it is, you are Lord. You are God. And for that, I give you thanks. I give you praise. Because 1 Thessalonians 5:18 says, "For this is the will of God. In everything, give thanks." However, in everything, Pastor, they just told me I have cancer. In everything, how do I give thanks when the doctor tell me I have cancer? Well, let's talk about it. That's not what I plan to teach on, but it'll answer the question. It'll answer the question. Because if it's God's will for us to be thankful in everything, then that has to mean that God is greater than anything that could happen to me. Wait a second. Oh! I don't know what that means to you, but that means what I'm about to face tomorrow. That means what I'm about to face Tuesday and Wednesday and Thursday of this coming week is done. God is greater than anything I could ever go through. Amen. That lifts my spirit. That encourages me that I can be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. I can go through anything. Is that what Paul says? I can go through all things through Christ who strengthens me. Huh? And my brother here, we saw him go through it. We saw he went through it. Every week at prayer meeting, he said, "Pray for me. Pray for me. I'm going through this. I'm going through that. Pray for me. Pray for me." And guess what? We prayed. He go through procedure. Pray. Go through procedure. Pray. Guess what? The procedure ended. Cancer gone. I'm feeling strong. I have my health. I'm living my life. All glory and all thanks be to God. Right? Through the whole process, never heard my brother complain. He's giving thanks to God. God is greater. God is able to carry me through every season of my life. That's who he is. That's who he said he is. Question is, will we believe it when the time of trial comes? You know, everything God says is going to be tried in your life. If God says that he is the resurrection and the life, there come a season where, is that true? If God says, "I'll provide for you," if God said, "I'll meet all of your need according to his riches and glory by Christ," that's going to be tried. It's going to come a time of testing. If God said, "Husband, love your wife as Christ loved the church and gave himself for her," guess what, husband? Get ready. The Bible says the word of God is purified seven times. Man, I keep getting away from my sermon. I'm not in my sermon. But the Bible says his word is purified. So every word that comes to you, you read your Bible, you're like, "I'm a good little Christian. I read my Bible every day." And when you read that word that says God is our refuge and our strength, a very present help in the time of trouble, guess what? That word is going to be tried in your life. And so when the time of trial comes, don't be going, "Oh God, why are you letting this happen to me?" Oh, shut up. Are you reading the book? Did you read where he is a very present help in trouble? "Well, yeah, I read it." Okay, well, then trouble here. Okay, so let the word of God have his way. Trouble here? Okay. Yes, trouble is here, Pastor. Okay, let the word of God have his way. Let him show you who he is. But your job in the midst of it is trust what he said. "He that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him," right? So the time of trial and testing is coming. You read, God is a healer. You read it, you delighting in the word of God. Oh, look at that. God's a healer. Praise God. Hallelujah. It's easy to say praise God. Hallelujah. When everything is fine. But then when the sickness comes, oh, Lord, I don't know about this. What do you mean you don't know? Did he say it was a healer? Yes, he said it was a healer. Well, then trust him. Trust him for his word to come to pass. Amen. I got through I'm in the first paragraph. Y'all better pray. All right. To be thankful to someone is to acknowledge that this person has been good to you or done good for you. Now, when it comes to Thanksgiving, it's interesting as you go through the Old Testament and indeed the whole of the New Testament, and you will barely find one instance where God commands you to be thankful. Where you're commanded to be thankful. You say, well, wasn't there a peace offering that translated into thanks? It was a thank offering. Yes, there was, but it wasn't mandatory. You didn't have to give it if you didn't want to give it. Talking about Thanksgiving, for Israel as a nation in the Old Testament, it was them alone who understood and expressed thanksgiving to God as he revealed himself to them. Now, other people thank their idols. All the other nations, they made idols, half man, half bull, and whatever. They put it up on this thing, and they worship them, and they thank their idols and all that. But Israel was the one nation. Psalm 146, we read it before church, that God did not choose any other nation. He did not reveal himself to any other people except for the children of Israel. And so they knew what it meant to rightfully thank God. To know God was to be thankful to him. To know God was to be thankful to him. Why was that? Knowing him was not something that you accomplished. How many of you came to God all by yourself? God had nothing to do with it. To know God was to be thankful to him. Why? Because he chose you for himself. All by itself. If I don't thank God before the close of my back or any of that, I thank him simply that, Lord, you chose me for salvation. And I can't get over that. I'm just like, woo! I thank you for all the things that you, thank you for the food, house, all that, wife, all that. But oh my, you chose me that I might know you by revealing yourself to me. Think about it. When Adam and Eve sinned in the garden, if God had never come down to see them, they would have been lost in their sin. Imagine this world, sin running crazy. And God's not here. He's not in it. There's no plan for salvation. Do you know what that would look like? We would have destroyed ourselves eons ago. But God in his greatness, God in his beauty, God in his wisdom, the perfect one stepped down from heaven into an imperfect man. And determined that he was going to take this imperfect man, and through that imperfect man, he was going to bring out a perfect Son of God. And so in Genesis chapter 12, God chose a man named Abraham and said, hey, I'm going to do something in you. And what I'm going to do in you is going to bless all the nations of the earth. And in all of Abraham's darkness, lying about Sarah, then he gets with Hagar, and then we have all this, we have Hamas, all because of Abraham with Hagar, and all of this craziness. And you have Sarah in her sin, and Jacob, and Isaac, all of them in their sin, and all the way down to the book of Matthew, and out of that sin steps a sinless man. God is able to step into sin and produce sinlessness. Now, the same one who did that in the flesh has doing it in you and I by the Spirit, because he stepped down into this sinner. Yeah, he said, oh, I'm going to do the exact same thing. I'm going to step down into you, and out of you, I'm going to bring forth my son. That's why I said the church is changing. Because the job of the church is so that Jesus might be seen, so that Jesus might be glorified. So that's what's going on, right? God chose us for himself that we might know him. And therefore, by the very fact of him choosing us, causes us to be grateful. When God chooses you to know him, you are on a journey of thanksgiving. For the nation of Israel, knowing God and therefore giving thanks to God wholly involved the tabernacle or the temple. That's where we started at the beginning of the year, if you remember. I did all these teachings on the temple, the book of Nehemiah, Ezra, so forth and so on, about how God has come and indwelt the temple that he had always desired for himself. And while I'm up here, I just remembered that I did not install my clicker. So I have to retrieve the apparatus that we might continue forward. Amen. Thank you. All right. So here we have, from the nation of Israel, I don't know if this is a Psalm of David, but I know Psalm 101 is. The nation of Israel, and only from the nation of Israel will you get this, enter into his gates with thanksgiving. Enter into his gates. So on this journey of thanks that we find ourselves on, Israel was the one who gives us where we begin. The presence of God, the temple of God that God established, that God erected, that God gave Moses. The plans is that make sure you make it according to the pattern. And David says, you enter into his gates, into his presence. How do you approach God? How do you approach God? Well, you approach him with thanksgiving, gratitude. Hello? If you do anything when you approach God, you give thanks. For what? Well, like we just said, for just letting me know you, oh God, before anything else, for letting me know you. And then the children of Israel will go on and on. But we see here, enter into his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. Notice the approach to God is the approach to his tabernacle. Why? Because God's presence was in the tabernacle. And so when you came, David said, the way you come is with thanksgiving. Matter of fact, there's sometimes you pray the prayer of thanksgiving and you don't even get out of it. There are times I go to prayer for something and never get to the something because I got caught up in thanking God. Oh, God, I just worship you. I bless you. I magnify you. Can't get over you. What you do, what you've done, what you have planned. Oh, my God, I worship you. And totally forget what I'm there for. Enter into his courts with praise. Be thankful to him and bless his name. Why? Was another reason that, another major reason that Israel was thankful. For the Lord is, he's good. He's good. All the time and to everybody. You ever been talking to a sinner? And they're talking about their life. And while they're talking, you are identifying the goodness of God. I'm looking at them like, ooh, my goodness. They don't know it. But you sitting there going, oh yeah, wow. Oh, God, so been good to you, you know. For the Lord is good, his mercy is everlasting, and his truth endures throughout all generations. So entering his gates with thanksgiving was to acknowledge the temple and the approach to him that he had established. It was important then, and it's important now. What was it about him that they were so thankful for? Because of his goodness. How was he good? First in choosing them to be his people, then for all the things he had done for them. So Israel would constantly, they would thank God for choosing Abraham, for delivering them out of Egypt from Pharaoh, for providing for them 40 years in the desert. Their clothes, the Moses said, your feet didn't swell and your clothes didn't rot. Imagine how many of you got clothes you were wearing 40 years ago and they're good today, as good, good today as they was 40 years ago. Not a one of us, bro. Not a one of us. Hello? No. They would thank him for defeating their enemies, both in the wilderness and when they got to the promised land. God defeated their enemies and gave them the land. So they were giving thanks. I said, mention Leviticus 7. Thank offerings were required under the law, were not required, rather, under the law, but they did exist. Why did they exist? They existed because of God's goodness. So we have here, this is the law of the peace offering, sacrifice of peace offerings, which he shall offer to the Lord. If he offers it for a thanksgiving, then he shall offer with the sacrifice of thanksgiving, unleavened cakes mixed with oil, unleavened wafers, so forth and so on. But Leviticus 22:29 says, and when you offer a sacrifice of thanksgiving to the Lord, offer it of your own free will. So thanksgiving was not commanded, but there was plenty of it. Why? Because God was good. And whenever they expressed their thankfulness for the goodness of God, they would give a thanksgiving offering. Not commanded, but of free will and having plenty of it in the nation. Now, we've been studying Saul the last few weeks, and it was interesting to me as I've been reading through, I noticed that there is no mention of Saul giving thanks to the Lord. Now, I'm sure he did, but there's no scriptural mention of him giving thanks to the Lord. That's the first king of Israel. However, the second king of Israel, all he did was give thanks to God. Because not only did God deliver him from the Philistine, which, as I was thinking about the scriptures, I was thinking, well, David surely exalted you for delivering him from the lion, the mouth of the lion, the mouth of the bear, remember? But what is it that David gave thanks to God for that we hear of over and over and over again? And that was this: thank you for delivering me from Saul. Not an uncircumcised Philistine, but somebody of the own nation of Israel. You delivered me from this man. Matter of fact, when God delivered David from all his enemies, David delivered into the hand of the Levites a psalm. We read it in 2 Samuel chapter 22, but it's also in Psalm 18. When you read Psalm 18, that's David's psalm that David wrote as the Lord delivered him from all of his enemies. Now, put part of it up here where we read, David said, the Lord lives, blessed be my rock. Let God be exalted, the rock of my salvation. It is God who avenges me, and subdues the peoples under me. He delivers me from my enemies. Now notice how this is all about God. This is David talking about, it's all about God. It's not about him. He's saying he delivers me from my enemies. You also lift me up above those who rise against me. You have delivered me from the violent man. Who would that be? That was Saul. Therefore, I will give thanks to you, O Lord, among the Gentiles and sing praises to your name. David gave God thanks continually. Read the Psalms. I'm currently reading through the book of Psalms and wonderfully overwhelmed all over again. How many times the Psalms say this? Sing. Who wrote the Psalms? Much of the Psalms, David. What was David? David was a musician. He had a harp, and he was constantly singing to God. And he would put it in song, and he was constantly giving thanks to God. And he had much to give thanks to God about. How about you and I? How about you and I? When I think about just the last 3 years, so I think about the last, and I said, Lord Jesus, nobody can do what you do. Nobody. He's too much. Not only was David a musician who thanked, sang to, and of, and praised the Lord, but he left musicians before the ark of God to give thanks to his name. David was a musician, but after he got finished praising God in that psalm, in 2 Samuel chapter 22, it's also in 1 Chronicles, this is what the scripture says David did. And he, David, appointed some of the Levites, to minister before the ark of the Lord to commemorate, to thank, and to praise the Lord God of Israel. David the king instructed the Levites to stand in front of the ark in the temple, in the tabernacle that he set up, to praise the Lord. Now keep in mind, over on Mount Gibeon where Moses' tabernacle was, there was the shell of the tabernacle, no presence of God inside, and no worship. We call that a dead church. Yeah. Hey. But over on Mount Zion, David commanded the Levites to stand in the presence. Listen, God didn't command the Levites to do that. You see what God commanded the Levites under Moses. But when David comes along, David says, hey, you stand in there and you praise him and you sing to him. And out of that flowed prophetic songs. They were prophesying on the drums, on the cymbals, and on the harps. They kept prophesying, kept singing and praising God. What's interesting about the Old Testament and the New Testament also is that the New Testament does not require us to offer up blood offerings. We don't offer up grain offerings, drink offerings, all of these guilt offerings, sin offerings. Why? Because Jesus fulfilled all of that. But there is something that they did in the Old Testament that we do in the New. We sing. That made it across. We give thanks. That made it across. Come on, Jesus fulfilled all the blood offerings, all those offerings he fulfilled. But we as New Testament priests, we don't offer up blood. We offer up the sacrifice of praise. That is, Hebrews 13:15, we'll get to in a second, the sacrifice of praise, which is the fruit of our lips giving thanks to his name. So when you get in a trial and you start going through it and you feel tempted to say, God, I don't want to say like you. Just give him thanks. Father, I thank you. I thank you that you've gone before me in all things. I thank you, Lord, that if you know, God is so good. You know, when you preach and when you say things, there's nothing is done in the corner. Whatever God is doing, he's doing somewhere else. So why is it so? I get on YouTube the other day and verbatim, word for word, what I've said from this pulpit, this, what God brings you to, he will bring you through. Why is it I get on YouTube yesterday? His John Piper titled his sermon, What God Brings You To, He Will Bring You Through. I was like, look at God. Look at that. Isn't that beautiful? Yeah, but he's able. And he's steering the ship. I know we think we're in control. We think we're in control. James 4, look down, you who say, we're going to go into such and such a city, buy and sell, and get gain. Wherefore, you do not know what's going to happen tomorrow. Wherefore, you ought to say, if the Lord wills, we shall go here and do this or that. No, we're not driving the bus. He is. He is. And that's why things happen in your life you didn't plan for. God, what is this? What is this? Just trust him. Hang on to him and trust him. Come on. Right? So David appointed some Levites. That would be us, to stand before the Lord and to give thanks and to give praise day and night. Again, that did not happen in the tabernacle of Moses. So, where are we going? Let me share the scripture. Hebrews 13:15. Therefore, by him, by Christ, let us continually offer. See, now, that's the journey of thanksgiving that we're on. See, because I don't know about you, I'm not at that continually yet. I'm on my way there. I'm getting there. Every now and again, I have to watch it. I'll get into a house. I tell the people we have the appointment set up. They know a month out, I'm coming to clean your house on such and such a day. I'm pulling up into the driveway. I have a truck mount. I have to run hoses all up into your house, do all this. I need to get this set up in order to get there. How is it that when I get there the day of, I pull up, go in and talk to the wife, coming out the door, the husband chasing me out the door. Hey, wonder if you can move your truck. I need to get out to be. I look at the man like, didn't you know? Wait a second. Didn't I tell you? Didn't the woman tell you? I'm coming to clean the house. How are you up here doing this? And why is all that going through my mind? The Holy Ghost is saying, Hey, thank you, Jesus. Oh, hallelujah. Amen. And everything, thanks. You ever been there? Amen. I don't say it. I think it, and the Holy Spirit be like, Yeah, you're on your way, son, and everything. We're on our journey. We're on our journey of thanksgiving because life is going to always present you something to complain about. Huh? Interesting that we are not commanded to give thanks, but we are commanded not to complain. I'll tell you this. If you're giving thanks, you can't complain at the same time. So when Paul said, in everything give thanks, 1 Thessalonians 5:18, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. When we're giving thanks, we're not complaining. Yeah. Still got that sermon on vengeance in me. That'll be coming out sometime, I guess, next year. We'll see. Amen. Now, again, I said earlier, God wakes up everyone every day. But not everyone gives God thanks for waking them up every day. Imagine that for a second. He gives, he receives nothing because he doesn't need anything. So he constantly gives out life and gives and gives. And yet there are people who don't give God thanks. Why? They don't know God. Not everyone gives to God what belongs to God. Paul said on Mars Hill to those who had an altar named to the unknown God, he said, him whom you ignorantly worship, I declare to you. He said, nor is he worshipped with men's hands as though he needed anything, since he gives to all life, breath, and all things. And he does it over and over and over and over. Everybody is receiving the goodness of God every day, all day long. I'm looking at my God. I'm saying, there's no one like you. There's no one like this. No one gives and gives and gives and gives. Every good and perfect gift comes down. The Father of lights comes down from above. He just keeps giving, and it's good over and over and over, his goodness. Such that it fills the whole earth. And some people will turn around and curse God. Why? Because they have no idea about the goodness of God. They don't know him. Who are those who give thanks to God every day for giving them life, breath, and all things? It's those who know that God has done those very things for them each and every day. 3 years ago on November 3rd, I didn't know whether I would live or die. When was the last time you've been there? When was the last time you were there? I was driving to the hospital. My son was taking me to the hospital. I did not know if I would see the morning. And here today I stand. And you talk about somebody give God thanks for every... Hey! I'd be like, oh, God! Almost trip over the hose at work. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Amen. I'd rather trip over the hose than be dead in the grave. I mean, come on. I want to live. I want to live and enjoy life. Love my wife. Love my children. Come on. Have friends. Hey, man. Slap her back. You know? Yeah. I want to do all those things. But to know that God is doing all these things and to give him thanks. We used to sing a song in the Baptist church with something like this. The Lord is blessing me right now, right now. Lord is blessing me right now, right now. He woke me up this morning, Start me on my way. The Lord is blessing me right now, right now. And so we were seeing that coming up. We were unsaved in the Baptist church singing this, but it was put into our minds that the Lord woke us up every morning and started us on our way. And I'm sure that helped us get somewhere along the way to salvation, to knowing God, having had that seed planted in us. Well, so it was no mistake then that David said to the saints, to those who knew God, to sing praise and to give thanks at the remembrance of his holy name. David said, sing praise to the Lord, you his saints of his. Notice who was singing praise, those who knew God. The unregenerate, they can't give God thanks. They can't give him. Why? They don't know him. But we know him. And we give thanks at the remembrance of his holy name. Amen. That's what the scripture says. Oftentimes, we may not give thanks for something because we don't recognize God's provision in our lives. Sometimes when something God has allowed shows up, and we look at it sideways and we be like, oh, no. Why? Because we don't know it all. But as we walk with God, like I said, with my knee, you know, causing me some problems, this, that, and the other. But then at the same time, I thought about it. I said, Lord, but for 30 years, I've been bending that knee, kneeling and carrying on. And it's been causing me no problems. I give you thanks for that. But then not only that, I just love how it works. So I go into this lady's house Friday. I show up for an estimate. It's raining outside. So I put on some booties. I'm putting on what she says, you don't have to take off your shoes. I'm putting on some booties too. So I get, I appreciate that. So I go to put the booty on my left leg. I was like, now. And I said, I'm having a little trouble with this left knee. Then it opened up a whole conversation. See, but the thing that's causing me problems could open up the conversation for me to talk somebody about Jesus. Oh, hey, I said, okay, Lord, thank you. I'll take it. He's going to cause everything to work together for the good of those that love God and are called according to his purpose. Hello? So she went off telling me, yeah, I got problems with my knees. My husband, he got problems with his knees. Now we're talking about everything. And I was like, look at that. You know? And I'm not struggling. I'm all right. We're going to get through it. Right? Isn't God good? He's good. He's good. Psalm 33, verse 5. The Lord loves righteousness and justice. The earth is full of the goodness of the Lord. I like to remind myself, and I like to remind people, that the earth is full of the goodness of the Lord. Now, make no mistake, it's full of some other things, namely us. We got our troubles. Come on. It's full, but yet the earth, and more so, is full of the goodness of the Lord. And when you walk outdoors, God has it set that you could see his goodness. You lay eyes on his goodness. You hear people testify of his goodness, even if they don't know what he's talking about. You see the goodness of the Lord. Now, men do not always praise God or give thanks for his goodness, as I've said. They don't always give thanks for his goodness, which is the reason why the psalmist in Psalm 107 said this, oh, that men would give thanks to the Lord for his goodness. Oh, my Lord. Listen, you want to read a good psalm about the thanking God for his goodness? Read Psalm 107. And you will find yourself in there, if not in this very verse, because it says this, for he satisfies the longing soul. Do you know how many people out there are longing for something? There are people longing, they don't even know what. They're tired of this life, though. He satisfies the longing soul and fills the hungry soul with what? With goodness. With goodness. That's why Israel gave thanks to the Lord. It was for his goodness. But here it was pretty much Israel. It was only Israel because they knew of the goodness of God. Why? Because he revealed it to them. He who revealed his goodness to Israel through Israel in Christ revealed his goodness to the whole earth, to all the world. You remember Moses at one point in Exodus 33, he asked God, he said, show me your glory. Because, you know, God would come down and talk to Moses face to face at the door of the tabernacle. God would talk to Moses. And at one point, Moses, he was itching. He just like, who, this God, he's so awesome. And he said, show me your glory. But watch this. Moses said, please show me your glory. Then the Lord said to him, I will make all my goodness pass before you. Now let me ask you something. Which do you need more? God's glory or his goodness? You need his goodness. Moses asked for his glory, but God gave him. Nobody like you, Lord. There's no one like the Lord. This, and his goodness, David said this, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. The goodness of God is what we need, church. Why did God do that? Well, you remember when Moses didn't know that his face was shining when he came out from the presence of God. So the glory of God was showing up on his face, but the people ran from it. People looked at Moses and said, oh, no, bro. My feet don't fail me now. I'm out of here. But God's goodness, you run to that. You run to it. There's no mistaking the goodness of God. So, this is what happened when the Lord descended and came down in a cloud and stood with Moses. And he proclaimed the name of the Lord, and the Lord passed before him and proclaimed, here's God, watch God's goodness. The Lord God, merciful and gracious. Because if he wasn't merciful and gracious, all of us would be in eternal hell. I'm telling you in a moment. Merciful and gracious, long suffering. How many of you have ever asked the Lord, Lord, how you put up with me this long? Am I the only one to ask that question? Be like, Lord, how you? He's long suffering, abounding in goodness and truth, keeping mercy for thousands, forgiving iniquity and transgression and sin. He's not going to clear the guilty. Judgment's coming, but his mercy and his goodness is here now and today. This is why we give God, this is why Israel gave God thanks. Psalm 18, in verse 1, it starts, it ends just the way it started. When you read Psalm 118, verse 1 is the same verse as verse 29. Oh, give thanks to the Lord. Why? For he is good. He's good. I've told this story before. I'll just share it briefly again. My father died when I was 4 years old, 1968. The only memory I have of my father was reaching up into the casket and putting my hand on his face, which was cold. And I said to myself, why is daddy cold? That's the only memory I have of my father. In 2007, I went to a funeral in D.C. of a sister, a half-sister, stepsister, whatever. She's a sister of mine. And while sitting there, her casket's in front of me, one of my cousins to my right leaned down and said, Pat, that's your brother on your left. And I'm looking down. I'm like, I don't know what's going on here, but hey. But you know how it is. Okay. So after the thing, we got to the repast, my other sister's husband, she passed away in 88. Her husband comes up to me and says, Pat, I'm going to move to Florida next week. But I have your father's wallet from the day he died in 1968. He was living with us. And when he died, his stuff was there. I've had it ever since. Would you like his wallet? I was like, are you serious? Now, let me tell you something. That was 40 years. Only God could put me in a funeral where people who know me have my father's wallet and want to give it to me a week before the guy's going to move to Florida. This only God could do that. I picked it up. I went and grabbed the wallet. Saw my sister's name written in it. Old phone numbers. Just everything. I was blown away at the goodness of God, you see. And that's only one thing. How many things could you name? I mean, if we opened up the floor, we'd be here for... See, this is what I think heaven going to be like. Heaven going to be like, hey, bro, wait till you hear what he did for me. I mean, my picture of heaven is like, there going to be people just, oh, we're going to be talking about the Lord and his goodness and his mercies, his kindness. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endures forever. So when God's been good to you, thanksgiving begins to overwhelm your heart and you just burst forth into thanksgiving and praise. Now, let me share these two last scriptures. There's 1 Thessalonians 5:18, been quoting it all summer. In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. How can I do that? Well, I quoted Romans 8:28 too. And we know that all things work together for good. If all things work together for good to those that love him, then you can in everything give thanks. So everything that's coming, all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to his purpose. And since God is working everything together for our good, we can give God thanks literally in everything. Amen. You agree? May the Lord bless you in doing so. Let's stand. Father, we love you today. We thank you, O God, for your goodness and your mercies, Lord, that you shower us with. We thank you, O God, for your compassions that never fail. Lord, for your steadfast love, for your mercies that are new every morning. Thank you that every morning, every day is a new start. Yesterday is forgotten. New things are before us. And so, Father, we simply lay down our lives. We thank you, O God. And we pray, O God, that our vision, our perspective, Lord, will align with your word. That we, O God, would indeed, Lord, in everything, that is the fruit of our lips continually, giving thanks to your name over and over and over again. You are bigger than anything that has ever happened to us. You are greater than our lives.